And so he's teaching us that the character of those who have fellowship with God is light. Because God's character is light, the fellowship of those or the character of those who have fellowship with God will be light. It's because Christ's blood cleanses the believer of all our sin, and He cleanses us of all unrighteousness. If it wasn't for the light of the Lord and His faithfulness to give everything to us, we wouldn't be able to believe on the Lord. We wouldn't be able to have the love of God toward brethren if it wasn't for God giving us that love. And He gives us that faith, and it's His constant cleansing and cleansing us from the unrighteousness that our sinful flesh is. And all of this is declared in this one simple statement that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. But then John gives us a warning here as well. And he's not only showing us what the believer has in Christ and through the blood of Christ, but he's also showing us here something about a false profession. He says there, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. And then he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So tonight our subject is walking in light or darkness. The fact is, all men are either walking in light by the grace of God or walking in darkness. What is the difference? What's the difference between these and who makes that difference? Well, the first thing that we look at here, John says in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, that's what true preaching is. True faithful preaching is to get a message from the Master and declare that message to His people. John said, this then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you. That's good preaching. That's faithful preaching. To get a message from Christ and deliver it, declare it to His people. And what he declares that he heard from Christ Himself is that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Now, John began, you know, he wrote the Gospel of John and then he wrote this epistle. And in the beginning of the Gospel of John, that whole letter is different than the other Gospels. John, in the Gospel of John, is declaring that Christ is the Son of God. That He's God in human flesh. God come down. The second person in the Trinity. He's declaring His Godhead, His divinity. And he begins the Gospel of John by saying, in the beginning was the Word. And that's how he began this epistle. Remember back up in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we've seen and heard and handled of the Word of life. And in both places he's speaking about Christ. Well, here in this epistle, the next thing he deals with is light. And that's what he dealt with in the Gospel, was light. He began talking about light. Go over there with me to John chapter 1 and hold your place in both places. We'll be back and forth. He says there in verse 4, talking about the Word, talking about Christ, he says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. When we talk about light, we're talking about life. That's one thing we're talking about. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness was amongst mankind. The light that shined in darkness was shining amongst us. And look here, he speaks about John the Baptist in verse 7. He says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the privilege to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, nor of the will of man, but of God. John is speaking of Christ. And what did he hear Christ? He said, what we've heard of him, from him, we declare unto you. And then he goes talking about light. God is light, and in him's no darkness at all. What did he hear Christ declare? Christ declared, I am the light. I am the light of the world. And that's what John's declaring to us. He's declaring what he heard Christ declare. He said, this is the message. This is the message that God sent his Son to declare. And this is the message his Son came and declared. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The only way we behold God is in Christ. This is what Scripture says of God. He only hath immortality, and he dwelleth in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. That's what Scripture says of God. But the way we're going to see God and see that light and have that light revealed to us is by beholding Christ the light. And so Christ came forth and he declared, I am the light. And he's declaring, I and my Father are one. You want to see God the light? Look at Christ the light. He's the light. He is the light. Now what does it mean that he's the light and in him is no darkness? Well, it means he's holy and he's righteous. He's light. He's holy. He's pure. He's all-powerful. It means he's holy in power. He's alone in power. No one else has power like what he has. And no one has any power that's apart from his power. He's holy in power. He's holy in wisdom. He is wisdom. He is knowledge. He knows all things. And there's nothing that you and I do that's not naked and open before him. He knows everything. He's holy in justice and holy in mercy. He will not clear the guilty, and he will not punish the innocent. And in Christ Jesus, we behold this holiness, this perfect righteousness of God. How he could be just and justifier. He's holy in love. Where he loves in a holy manner. He loves in a perfect, righteous, holy way. He's holy in sovereignty. Whatever he works in the earth, moving all things and working all things after his own pleasure, it's all holy. It's for a holy purpose, his eternal purpose. All the works that he does in saving his people is holy. It's light. There's no impurity in it. There's nothing sinful about it. There's nothing unjust about it. Everything he does is right. Light means not only that he's holy, it means he's truth. Everything about him is truth. There's nothing about our Lord that's a lie. And those that worship him, we have to be made holy. We have to be pure as God is pure. We have to be truth. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. He saves by truth. And the only way he can be worshipped is in truth. Because he is truth. And in him's no lie. No darkness. And no unrighteousness. No ungodliness. Nothing that's unholy whatsoever. But those that He saves now, He's talking about me and you, we're only darkness. All we are by nature is darkness. All we are by nature is lies. There's no light at all in us by nature. So how then can we approach unto God and see God and have fellowship with God? Be accepted of God. How's that going to happen? The only way it can happen is in Christ the light revealing Himself to us and bringing us to cast all our care on Him and trust Him to bring us to God, to make us to be like God. That's what we have to have happen. It's by the blood of Christ, by His blood alone, we have to be created entirely new. He's not going to use anything that's of Adam. And that's all that we are by nature, just what's of Adam. We're unrighteous because we broke the law in Adam. We're unholy because we're born of Adam's corrupt seed. He's not going to use anything that's of Adam. What He's going to do is He's going to create us entirely anew, totally anew. And it's all going to be the work of His hand so that we're righteous and holy by Christ. And it's only going to be in His light that we see this light. He's going to have to give us the light so that we have light and we behold the light and we come out of the darkness and we dwell in light. So God is light. This is the first thing. He's light. In Him is no darkness. You and I are nothing but darkness, and in us is no light. How are these two going to be brought together? It's all going to be by Christ. He sent His Son to do this work, to bring us together. Now, John declares to us now what is a false profession and what is a true profession. And what he's saying here is because God is light and in Him is no darkness, like begets like. He's going to create what's like Him. And so if our profession is not like Him, it's false. Now look what he says here, John, 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. Now, I remind you again, John's declaring what he heard Christ declare. Look at that statement. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Go over to John 8. John chapter 8. And where did John get that from? Where did he hear Christ say that? See what John, what the Lord said here in John 8. And look at verse 12. And then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's where John heard this. That's how come he said it and said what he said. It's because he heard Christ say that. Christ said, I'm the light. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, the difference between this false profession and this true profession is the walk. That's the difference. When you look back there at 1 John, he says there, if we walk in darkness, we lie. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship. The difference is in the walk. So, my first question is, what is it to walk in darkness? And I want to answer that by seeing what it is to walk in light. We see what it is to walk in light, we'll know what it is to walk in darkness. It's just opposite. And what I did when I was studying this is I went through and I took each word in this passage and I looked up John's use of those words in his gospel and in this epistle. because I want to see what He's got on His mind, what the Spirit's putting on His heart, and how He's using those words. And I want to see what He means by it. So that's what we're going to look at here between the Gospel of John and his epistle here, and see what he's talking about. What does the walk mean? Well, 1 John chapter 2. First of all, it's to have the light of Christ shine in our hearts so that our darkness is past. Look here at 1 John 2 and verse 8. He said, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you." Now here's why we have this truth in us and it's in Christ. Why are we together in this truth? Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. The darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Whenever God shines in our heart, just like He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When God says, "Let there be light," in the heart of one of His particular elect, He shines the light and gives you the knowledge of God and the glory of God in the face of Christ. And when He does that, the darkness is past. The darkness of our ignorance is past now. We have the light. We have the light of life. We have the light of truth now. And the darkness is past. Now, we still see through a glass darkly. And we're going to, as long as we're in this flesh, till we see Christ face to face. But the darkness of total ignorance and total darkness is past now. We have light now. And once you have light, He's never going to take that light away from you. The darkness is past. You have light now. It's the light of Christ that shines in our heart. He said, "I'm the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He shall have" what? "The light of life." We have it because He gives it. We have it because He gives it. He knew who the Father chose and gave to Him. He knew Him when He laid down His life for Him. And He knows us when He sends the gospel to us. And He knows it when He speaks light. And there's light in our heart. He knows who He's given the light to. We have the light of the gospel now. We have some light. It all gets its light from Christ the light. And we get the light from Christ and we can see what this gospel is teaching to us now and what the message is and all the Word of God. And now we're looking for Christ the light in all the Word. And it redounds back to His glory. Everything we're seeing gets its glory from Christ and it's all to Christ's glory. We have the light of the gospel. And when it's given to us, now we worship God in spirit and in truth. We're not worshiping Him in the darkness that we were in. We're worshiping Him in spirit and truth. We're worshiping Him in light now. We didn't have it before. The true light shines when we see that we're sin. And Christ Himself is our righteousness. That He Himself is our pardon. That He is our forgiveness. That He is our completion. That He is the life. He's everything. It ceases to be a system of doctrine and all that. Christ Himself becomes the sum and substance of everything we need. Christ Himself. We have the light. And so, the first thing, this thing of walking in the light is to be regenerated. Is to be born anew, is to be given the light of Christ. So to walk in darkness is to be in an unregenerate state. A man can say, "I have fellowship with God," and be walking in total ignorance and total darkness, in unregenerate state. And he's without life, he's without the light of Christ. Well, here's the next thing walking in light involves. Since we're right here in 1 John 2, we'll stay right here and look at verse 9. It's to walk in darkness is to hate those born of God. To walk in light is to love our brethren. Look here, 1 John 2, 9. "He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, And there's none occasion of stumbling in Him. Look over at 1 John 5. Why do we love the brethren? Is this something we muster up in ourselves? Not hardly. Not hardly. We're talking about being in communion and fellowship with those who believe the same gospel as we do. You can't love somebody that don't believe the same gospel that you do. Not with the love of brethren. Watch this. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, here's why. He's born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat. You love Christ who begat you, you're going to love Him also that's begotten of Him. And that's how we love, is because we're born anew, born of God. That this love is the second part of the Holy Commandment. There's the Holy Commandment's just one commandment. It's that which Christ works effectually in the heart of His people. And this is the second part of it, loving our brethren. Remember Christ, we saw, He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. And it's so important that He said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. You're my students. You're the ones I've taught. How are we going to know? How are they going to know? Because you love one another. You have love one for another. Now, I'll tell you something about love. Men can try to fake this love we're talking about here. But you can't fake the love of brethren. Because we're not talking about a fleshly love. We're talking about something God gives. And this is what God says, that charity, which is love, He saved charity. This is what it does. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And this love is so abiding, when Christ, who is God, who is love, when He abides in you, you're going to have this love. And it's so abiding with us that Scripture says when we don't have hope and faith anymore, when we don't need hope and faith anymore, when we're with Him in glory, we're going to still, charity never faileth. We're going to still love one another. This is an abiding, continual thing that His people always have, is love. Is love. And when you think about it, What did our Lord say the fulfillment of the law is? It's love. And what Romans 8 says, if Christ is in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. When you're created anew by the Holy Spirit, and that new man is righteous, that new man is love. That's the essence of the new man, is love. Because righteousness and love are, they're the same things. You love your brethren now. And a hypocritical love can leave brethren and will leave brethren. Will forsake them. Well, it's like a hypocritical faith can leave Christ. A hypocritical love will leave the brethren. But when you love somebody, you don't leave somebody you love. You don't forsake somebody you love. You stay with them. And you bear all things, you endure all things, you suffer long, whatever it is you have to suffer through, you do, because you love them. That's this love that God gives. And those that don't have this love, I tell you one way they'll manifest it. They'll side with liars before they side with God's people who rest in His free and sovereign grace. They'll side with free will works religionists before they'll side with God's people. Because that's who they really love. God's people love one another. When you're born of God, you're going to love those that are born of God. And under this, I would include all those works that God foreordained that His children shall walk in and that He brings you to walk in, including godliness and everything. I'd include all that under this because when He gives this love in the heart, it makes you be devoted to Christ. It makes you want to honor Christ and honor the gospel. You don't want to bring reproach on the gospel. Because He said when the grace of God comes, it changes the heart, sanctifies His people. And it teaches us, brethren, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And the reason I include that under brotherly love is because the greatest way you can express love for your brethren is to be an encouragement to them in godliness. That's the greatest way you can love them. If we lead one another into error and lead one another into sin and rebellion, that's not loving them. Do you lead your children in that? No, because you love them. And when you love your brethren, you don't want to lead them in anything like that either. That's a great expression of love. So first off, it's to have the light shining in your heart. Then it's to have the love of God in your heart so that you love your brethren. And then also walking in light is faith, is to believe on Christ, is to believe on Him alone for wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, is to trust Him alone and have no confidence in yourself, in you whatsoever. That's the first part of that effectual command. Look over there, John 3. I'll show you what I'm talking about. 1 John 3. This is what John says it is to do righteousness. And this is what it is to walk in light. 1 John 3, verse 23. Verse 23. This is His commandment. It's just one commandment. It's got two parts to it. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as Christ gave us commandment. That's the one commandment that the believer's under. It's called faith, which worketh by love. That's it. That's the rule that the believer's under right there. By faith in Christ, we fulfill the whole law of God because He fulfilled it for us, and we don't owe the law anything. We have fulfilled it in perfect righteousness. God says, your sins I remember no more. They're blotted out of the book. To be righteous means you're justified. You cannot be found guilty ever again. And we have this through faith in Christ. And then that second part is He gives love in the heart. Let me show you some places where I show you this means faith. Go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And listen to what our Lord said. John 12, 46. Watch this. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. See that? He's talking about faith. Abiding in Him, not abiding in darkness. Look back up at John 12, 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. What does he mean by walk? Look at the next verse. Verse 36. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. See, that's is faith. Look at John 3 and look at verse 19. This is familiar. John 3, 19. Look what he said. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Let me tell you what he's talking about, first of all, when he talks about evil deeds. He's talking about the same one John's talking about when he says, if we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And the man that's doing that, man that has a false profession and says he's walking in the light, but he doesn't love Christ's true brethren, those that preach the gospel and support the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace and His accomplished redemption of His people, but he lives amongst will workers and those are the ones he hangs out with, he doesn't love the brethren. He doesn't believe Christ alone. He's trusting His work somehow, trusting some pretended goodness He's got. He's in an unregenerate state. He's in darkness, but he won't come to the light because he don't want all that to be reproved. He won't come to the light, confess that's all true of him. He won't do it because he loves that darkness rather than that light. Look here, but he that doeth truth, he cometh to the light. comes to Christ. He comes to Christ. When John says, they that walk in the light, that word in could be translated into. We walk into the light. We come to Christ the light. Come out of the darkness to Christ the light, believing on Christ. And why do we do that? He does it that his deeds may be made manifest. They might be open in the light. That they're all wrought in God. That Christ worked out all the righteousness for him. That Christ worked everything for him. Christ gave him life. Christ regenerated him. Christ worked out, fulfilled the law for him. Everything. Christ is our holiness, our righteousness, our wisdom, our redemption. We come to the light manifesting that Christ has worked it all. It's all worked in him. In God. And that's why we come to the light. So it's first of all, walking in light is to be born of light, is to have the love of God in your heart, is to be given faith to believe on Christ. And then here's the next thing. If we're walking in darkness, we're denying our sin before God. If we walk in light, we're confessing our sin. And in every way. Look here, 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, now look at that carefully. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. Verse 8 is dealing with a man who's a self-deceiver. He denies himself. He deceives himself. He deceives himself into thinking he's innocent of sin. If we say we have no sin, you ever run into somebody that will not bow to the truth that we were made sin by Adam's one transgression? A man will not say he has original sin. He will not say he was conceived in sin. He will not say that. And so long as a man hates the fact that we're made sin in Adam, he'll never bow to the fact that we're made righteous in Christ alone. Until a man can bow to the fact he was made sin by another, he'll never bow to the truth that God's people are made righteous by another. That's where it says he has no sin, no original sin. And then verse 10 deals with a man who's a blasphemer against God. Because this man is saying, we have not sinned. He's saying, I've never broken the law. This is men who think they've become, or includes men who think they've become so progressively holy that they're living now above sin. And they're not breaking God's law. And men who think they actually can keep God's law. Have not sinned. If we do this, why is that blasphemy? We're making God a liar. And I tell you, it's not only blasphemy against God. It's, remember what Paul said? If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If at any point in my life, I begin to say, now I can keep the law myself, then I'm saying Christ died for nothing. That's how serious it is. Because Christ had to come and live and fulfill that law for His people. And that's the only righteousness God's looking to. He's not looking to anything we've ever done under the law because we've never, ever kept the law. So if I say I have not sinned, I've not broken the law, I'm lying. And I'm calling God a liar. And we see here why a person does that. Why does he walk in darkness? Verse 8, he says the truth's not in us. Verse 10, he says his word's not in us. That's why if a man doesn't walk in light, he walks in darkness, it's because God's word is not in him. It's just not in him. You remember, look at John chapter 9. I want to show you this. John chapter 9. Do you remember when Christ came to that blind man and he gave that blind man sight? Look here why Christ said he came. They asked him, they said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Verse 3, he said, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And look at the next thing he says. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." I'm the light. I'm the one that has to work the works. And so, it says then, look, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, he made clay of the spittle, he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. "He went his way therefore and washed, and he came seeing." Christ gave him light, and he could see. And so then after his parents denied him and the Pharisees kicked him out, now look what happened. Verse 35, "Jesus heard that they cast him out. When he found him, he said unto him, Do you believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee. He said, Lord, I believe. And he fell down and worshipped him." Now watch this. We're talking here about these men that won't confess their sin. Watch this. Verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, if you confessed your sin, you should have no sin. But now you say we see. Now you say we've not sinned. We're not sinned and we haven't sinned. Therefore, your sin remaineth." That's exactly what John is telling us in our text back over here in 1 John. He's saying if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But if we confess our sin, if we confess our sin, this is what happened to that blind man. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what happened to the blind man. The others said, we don't have sin. He said, your sin remains. But this blind man came saying, that's all I am is sin. I need to believe on you, Lord. I need you to save me. And the Lord cleansed him of all sin. Now, lastly, I want to show you this. The blessing that God gives to those that he's made honest to confess our sin. This is the blessing. Verse 7. "If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Verse 9, "And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, those that are born of God walk in the light as Christ is in the light. Before, we wouldn't come to the light. We loved darkness. We stayed in darkness. Now we come to the light. And we confess that Christ is all our righteousness. And we've been born of him. We believe on him. We trust him. We're constrained by his love now. We love those that are begotten of him. And now we have fellowship one with another. That's not talking here about us having fellowship with each other here. It's talking about now I have fellowship with God in Christ and you have fellowship with God in Christ. We have fellowship with him and he has fellowship with us. We've been made partakers of the divine nature. We have communion with God now. All things that are God's are Christ's, and everything that's Christ's is ours. We have all things in common. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Fellowship, communion. And then the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That word ETH means we never cease coming to Christ, and he never ceases cleansing us from all our sins. We need a constant cleansing. And he cleanseth us from all our sin. And we confess our sins to God. We're constantly coming and confessing our sins to God. We don't have any confidence in our flesh. We confess that sin's what we are because of Adam. And sin's all that we do, because that's what we are. And God is faithful. As He promised, He's faithful. And He's just because of the blood of Christ. To do what? To forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's faithful to do it. He's just to do it. Isn't He unlike, you know, like we saw Sunday, if you surrender to an earthly general, a lot of times the army will treat you in a horrible way. You surrender to God, and He says, "And I'll have mercy on you. My thoughts are not your thoughts." He says, "You come confess your sins to me. I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sin, and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Now, sinner, you listen to that. You come to Christ and stop trying to be a hypocrite. You know, you hear people all the time using that word. Oh, that's a hypocrite. And they don't even know what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is somebody who professes to know God that don't know Him. That hadn't experienced this grace we're talking about right here. You come to Christ confessing all you are is sin, with no confidence in yourself, casting all your care on Christ. And it'll be because the Word of truth is now abiding in you. God has shined His light in your heart. And all these blessings right here that His people have, you'll have them. Every one of them. And believer, don't ever stop coming to Christ. We need daily cleansing. We need daily cleansing. We go out into this world and we get defiled and we come back and we hear the gospel preached and He washes us and cleanses us and we keep coming to His throne of grace every day, every day, every day, every day. And He continually cleanses us. This is how we continue to believe and continue to repent and continue to love holiness and hate sin, because He keeps cleansing us and cleansing us and cleansing us. Don't ever quit coming to Christ. Amen.